Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And now, here comes fans around the world. This is the moment you've all been waiting for. Out of Liverpool, England!
It was super necessary.
Hello.
Hi, you're right.
You all right, mate? How's it going?
Good, thanks, are you?
Yeah, all good. Thanks very much for joining us.
He's got the water. Is he water loading, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice one for joining us, mate.
Thanks for asking.
You want to kick it off, mate?
Yeah, so obviously, Elliot, you're fighting Jordan Parker next week, and we will come on to that in just a moment. First thing we always ask anybody first time on the podcast, nice and simple, how did you get started in combat sports?
I very first started in karate. My nan got, I call her nan, she likes being called Nin because I've called her Nin from when I was like dead little. But I was out with one of my mates at the time, and we was only young, and we got jumped over the park. And me Nin is like a very traditional old scouse bird, so she was like, right, either go and smash the red in or you go and karate then like the following week. So I joined a karate class pretty much the following week, and started from there. And there was always like there was always an interest in MMA off the side. You know what I mean? Like I was always watching MMA fights, but karate is what I started in. I got my black belt there and then joined an MMA gym from that then.
Yeah. Is it fair to say that you didn't approach them then? If you went to karate the week after?
Can you tell? No, I was a soft kid.
Yeah. Did you learn no through karate and that self defense, and eventually did you get back at them, I guess?
It wasn't a case of getting back at them, it was just a case of I don't want to feel like I couldn't do anything again. Like it was fucking, sorry for swearing. It was scary. No, you know what I mean? So can you swear on here? Because I've got a bad mouth.
Yeah, swear
as much as you want. I've got undiagnosed Tourette, so don't worry about it.
But no, yeah, it was just a case of I wanted more to look after myself rather than, trying to get it back, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Did you take right away the karate? Did you pick it up quite quick?
Say it again, sorry.
Did you take to it quite quickly, karate?
Yeah. It was something that I'd never really done before. And like I said, I was always sort of, watching the UFC, watching, I think it was Bammer at the time, what was called like Bellator now or something like that. I sort of just like stuck to it like glue. I really enjoyed going. It was like a physical release, because I was one of the kids who, when they weren't out, they were just on the PlayStation all day. So,
yeah.
It was a good, I felt physically good from it, and obviously mentally good from it as well, just knowing that I could sort of have more of a chance if something else kicked off, if that makes sense.
Yeah. What was your progression from there? So obviously you started out in karate. How did you make your way to MMA?
One of my mates in school at the time, he seen that Hammer was open in St. Helens. So let me just make sure I'm getting this right. So I went with my mate and his brother first time. And then from there, me and his brother just kept going. And then pretty much from there, it just spiraled into like going every day, every week. And it's progressed to where it is now.
So obviously, as Jay mentioned, you're fighting a tough opponent in Jordan Parker. He's unbeaten so far. Obviously, you've fought people with undefeated records before. How does he compare to your other opponents?
He's, you know, he's my biggest test. He's going to be my biggest test so far. He's in every aspect, pretty much. He's game. He's big. I've seen that he can go five rounds. I've seen that he has power in his hands. He's got good wrestling, good grappling. So he's genuinely like a step up in every single way.
Yeah.
But that sort of, like, I wouldn't accept anything less at this point. There's no point going down, is there, when that's the direction?
Yeah. Has that made you sort of not push and train more, but changing in any extent since he is going to be your hardest opponent to date?
Not necessarily change, but just more like there's always sacrifices and there's always hard training in camp, but for this one it's sort of like, not that the others didn't mean anything, but this, you can tell, like, this, all the sacrifices for this, that's leading up to this, it means, you know, it means something. Like, it's good that I'm going to have a belt strapped around me at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? It's, like I said, everything takes a toll, every single camp takes a toll, but this one has felt the most worth the pain.
Yeah.
So Jordan hasn't fought for coming up to a year now, about 9 months, so 9-10 months. Obviously your last fight was 3 months ago. Mm-hmm. Is that something you think you can possibly use to your advantage in any way?
There's a yes and a no to it, because yes, obviously ring rust is a real thing. He could have lost a step somewhere. You know, there's always that possibility that his head goes on the night, do you know what I mean? From not fighting as recently. But obviously, from my last fight, I didn't fight for 18 months before that, and I came back and I hadn't missed a step, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like I said, there's a yes and a no, like being prepared either way.
Yeah. What do you think makes ring rust a real thing? Do you think it's like just not competing as often, or do you think it's more everything else that surrounds it, you know, the sort of big atmosphere of a fight? So what do you think makes it real?
I think it's anxiety. I think not enough people train for the anxiety of a genuine fight. You know, they're either doing too easy sparring, not sparring enough, not sparring hard enough. They're not visualizing, you know, like this week is very important in terms of being a fighter, because this is where your ass goes. You know, when you're sitting in the bath or sitting in the sauna and thinking, what the fuck am I doing here? You know what I mean? Like, I could be eating whatever I want right now and not fighting in a couple of days. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So a lot of it, I think, is anxiety training. Sort of preparing your body for, like, what is essentially like a car crash. Do you know what I mean? You can't prepare it. So there's inevitable anxiety, but it's sort of knowing how to weave your way around it. I think there's a saying, I can't remember who said it, but it's like anxiety or fear is like a fire, and you know, controlling it. That's not the quote, but it's something like that.
yeah. So that's the gist of it. Yeah. You mentioned there about visualization and anxiety. Do you feel like visualization is a big thing to sort of cap that anxiety?
Yeah, huge. Absolutely huge. Because when you can see a result, it sort of nullifies any anxiety that you've got. Don't get me wrong, there's still going to be anxiety and nervous feelings, and you know, you're still going to be shitting yourself on the night. That everyone is, and if they say they're not, they're lying. But I feel like sort of visualizing not just success, but visualizing every single possible variable that there is, you know, from the walkout to what side of the changing rooms you're going to be on when you're there, do you know what I mean? What you're going to have for food on the morning, who's going to be there, you know, who's behind you on your walkout, you know, things like that. So I think just sort of going through every possibility and just thinking it's life, what's going to happen is going to happen.
That's mad, because sometimes when you hear people speak about visualization, they're visualizing how the fight's going as opposed to what's going on before the fight, who's with you, you know, how you prepared in that sense. So that was interesting to hear.
It's that's what I feel like is, like, the everyone just visualizes, right, I'm gonna go and take him down, I'm gonna choke him out, or I'm gonna go and punch him in the face and he's gonna go down and I'm gonna ground upon him, Jeremy. But the second that doesn't go to plan, and you think, oh fuck, you know, like, what do you do then? That's when the anxiety builds. Do you get me?
If you
sort of prepare for every possible outcome, what can beat you on that day?
You've already
seen it. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Do you think people tend to not necessarily visualize the stuff surrounding the fight because a lot of it is out of their control?
I've not really thought about that, to be honest. Obviously, whatever's not in people's control is sort of what they get anxious about. So for, like, the way I see it, what you can control, you control. What you can't, you can't. So any sort of visualization of, but when I say every possible outcome, I'm not saying, like, you know, I'm visualizing tripping as I'm walking into the cage and being fucking injured or whatever.
Fire alarms going off. Everything.
A car fucking drives into the Olympia. Do you know what I mean? it's sort of accepting what you can't control and sort of manifesting what you can see could happen, manifesting from that.
So to move on then, obviously you fight out of Urban Kings. Talk about the team there now, how important they've been for your development.
They're all hard as fuck. Straight away, that's the best way to describe them. Obviously I've got head coach Stanley. He's phenomenal. He's world champ at the minute. He is the essence of Urban Kings, if that makes sense. When he's not there, it's sort of not right. He is Urban Kings. And obviously there's Chaddy, Lee Chadwick. Again, he's phenomenal. The stuff that he knows, the stuff that he can show you, and he's hard as fuck as well.
That's always a plus, isn't it?
Emil, Sam, you know, just obviously I can't name everyone because there'll be too many to name, but everyone is sort of on the same wavelength in terms of not that we're just the same, like copy and paste fighter, because we're not, everyone's totally different, but everyone's sort of got the same mentality, the same grit, you know, everyone works hard, and it's sort of like a weed out the weak environment.
So
I've just taken a look through your Instagram and everything a few days ago, and I noticed obviously you'd also do grappling events. You recently won gold and silver, which you're seeing you weren't too happy about, at Empire back in July. How important today for you to keep yourself, you know, to keep yourself sharp? Obviously, you know, sparring and everything is great, but I can imagine not on compares to proper competition.
Yeah, well, again, that brings us back to the anxiety thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you see, especially at the grappling comps, you see everyone with massive headphones on and sort of not talking to anyone in the corner, but I can sort of use it as like it's an anxiety based thing, but it's not as bad as a fight, so you can sort of get used to the anxiety a bit more. And you know, if you can sort of train yourself to be calm in those environments when everyone's sort of on edge and everyone's looking at you like you owe them money, and you know what I mean? Like, even just before you go, sorry, thought I was going to hiccup them. Even just before you go onto the mat to compete, and you sort of like your opponent's staring fucking laser holes through you, you can sort of build a different outlook on how you view competition from that. Like, you can, I'm always cracking jokes. Like, I don't know if you've seen like any of the grappling videos that I put on, but one of the lads got me in a boogie choke, and straight away I laughed and said, "You're not fucking getting me in that." like the way I see it, you just, you know, if you're there, you may as well enjoy yourself. Obviously, anxiety is inevitable, but enjoy yourself while you're there. Make a few jokes, make a few friends. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've had a few people message me from it saying, you know, it was good to meet you, good things like that. Good to roll with you. So it's good, but I can see why people would get sort of worked up about them.
Yeah. I don't think anything like compares to a fight at all, because it's like, because even though you go to the jiu-jitsu competitions, a lot of them are, there's a few matches going on at the same time, so it's not all on you, is it? And then obviously when you're in a fight, it's just you and that other person across from you, and then everyone else watching. It's another different type of anxiety, isn't it?
I love it.
So to go off that then, obviously you've got this fight coming up. What's your plans after Jordan? Do you look to turn pro? Do you sort of keep on pushing with your amateur career at that point, or have you not even really give too much thought about it?
My outlook is to sort of get 10 fights under my amateur belt. So, you know, win, lose or draw, just get the experience there, at least 10, against the best at that moment in time. You know, Jordan's one of the best, which is why I'm so happy that I've got this fight, and I'm so grateful that, you know, I can fight the best at this point. So it's sort of get the experience, and then it's going to get to a point where I'm going to have to start getting paid for the pain that I'm going through during being in camp. So I can't say for sure when that point will be, but when it'll come, it'll be for the right reasons and not for, oh, I want to turn pro because I'm on a winning streak and I've just won the belt and, you know, I'm the best at this moment in time. I want to prove myself against the best in the general consensus rather than just beat one person who I consider the best and then fuck off pro and start fighting bums.
So just to finish off then, we've got a new little segment we're gonna debut with you, so you're the first for this one. So basically it's called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So we've got a few little different questions surrounding each of them. So starting it, who are your five greatest of all time in MMA?
Oh, number one's got to be John Jones. So do you want it in like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1? Sorry.
I mean, no, just like whatever order you want to put them. If there's no specific order, because these things, I know a lot of people can't necessarily put all of them in order, but just your top five in any order.
Top five, right, okay. So John Jones, he's got to be number one, no matter what. Demetrius Johnson. I'd put him... In terms of being a martial artist, I'd put him second. Khabib, third. Jones, Demetrius Johnson, Khabib. It's tough. Got my brain rattling off now. You proper stumped me.
Shall we throw you some names, see if we can help you?
Yeah, go on.
So where do you rank Anderson Silva?
I feel like the new breed, like in terms of Khabib, Demetrius Johnson, are better than he was. So I'd probably put him fourth or fifth. I know that like there's old school people who think he should be number one. But tell you what, so I'll go Jones, Demetrius, Khabib, Silva, and then number five. Go on, throw me some more names.
where does JSP rank?
I'm gonna end up getting stabbed over this. All right, we'll move Silva from fourth and put him last, and we'll put GSP fourth.
Right, okay.
See, this is why you never rank them.
I know.
Just throw them out there, just, and then
they're all you want to take order. It. Yeah, they're all
one. Next one then is four fighters who you think should have been champ.
Should have been. Is this not counting interim champs?
No, so just fully fledged champs.
Okay. Dustin Poirier. I feel there's a lot of lightweights who could have probably had it, to be honest. I'd say Ferguson as well.
Yeah.
Or Ray Ferguson. I'm trying to like rattle off.
let's get a thing started. Like some people might come after me, but there's a bit of thing over it. You mentioned Jones. How about Dominic Reyes?
Oh. Oh. Wow. Obviously there's like a lot of people thought that he should have won, but after that he didn't really show much, did he? Do you know what I mean? He fought, who was his next fight after that? I know he fought Yuri and got fucking flatlined, but
I think he fought Blachowicz, I think, weren't it? If I remember right, he fought Blachowicz.
Did he get knocked out in that as well?
Yeah, that's the one where he absolutely messed his dad up with the kicks, and I think eventually
got knocked out. Yeah, the side was all like red, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's a good one, that, to be honest, Don Reyes. Peter Yan.
Yeah.
He's never been champ, has he? But
was he champ?
I don't think he was he? I think he was fighting Sterling, and he needs Sterling in there.
Oh, was that for the belt, was it? Or
I think so. I might be wrong.
I'm trying to think now.
That long ago.
Because I feel like Sterling won the belt.
I thought he won the belt
off him because of that.
I don't know. We'll
have to look. But if you never won it, we'll have him in there.
You wouldn't think we watch MMA, would you?
I know, yeah. Another one in, like, similar to what Keane mentioned with Dominic Reyes there. What about Alexander Gustafsson?
Yeah, it's another good one. Light heavyweight as well. Apart from that fight with Jones where he looked like he won to the public. After that, he sort of fell off again, didn't he? After Jones, people just sort of sloped off. Obviously, he fought DC after that as well, didn't he? Did he fight Glover after that, or was that before Jones, where he knocked him out with the uppercuts?
I feel like that was before, but...
I feel like it was before, but again, we'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, but yeah, Gustafsson's another good one. And again, in the rematch with that, he got smoked, so...
Yeah, Jones has had a crazy knock-on effect, hasn't he? Like, look at the division now as well. Yeah. Can't even keep a champion, though.
No, really.
I mean, to be honest, before Jones, it was like that as well, where it was always... Like the belts was always switching, but not on this crazy where there was injuries.
Yeah.
No, he was a constant, wasn't he? Yeah, definitely. Okay, let's move on to the next one then, because we could be here all day on that one, I think. So, who are three fighters that for you are overrated?
Overrated? O'Malley, even though he's just won the title, so that's probably going to... I'm probably going to get stabbed again. Conor McGregor, and at the time that he was getting pushed, I'd even say Darren Till.
Yeah, I mean, I'm made up. You said McGregor, absolutely. but no, I think, to be fair with Till, I think you're spot on, like, because his push just seemed to be so quick and probably a bit too soon for him. Like, you know, he had the fight in Liverpool, didn't he? And then, like, I think it was his next fight, he got the title shot. It was just crazy. He sort of went from
pretty much, he fought Cowboy. After Cowboy, was it Wonderboy from there?
I think so, yeah.
And then from that, surely it was just straight to the title, wasn't it?
So, I mean, he's gone from down here to right up there, and I suppose that's what popularity can do for you, though. But,
yeah.
No, I think I'd agree with them, to be honest. So, don't know if you heard them, Keen, the overrated fighters.
I heard Sugar, O'Malley. Yeah. I'm gathering from the last of it, you just mentioned Till.
Yeah, and McGregor.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Take it you don't agree there.
I don't know, because even after, like, the fight that he had for the belt, even after, like, he fought Whittaker as well, didn't he? Done all right against Whittaker. It's just his last two. His last one against Jiffers, he didn't look too bad. And it was the one against Brunson where he looked flat in that.
Yeah.
But I think he was injured, wasn't he? He had his knees. Yeah. So, obviously...
But like you said earlier, I think it was more... Not necessarily in terms of his ability, but how quickly he was pushed to the top.
Yeah,
to go from the cowboy fight to a title fight in two, basically, is the push was crazy. And I think that's where the overrated in that sense comes into it. And in that sense of it, I do agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you. The O'Malley one's a bit out the box now, isn't it?
I wasn't expecting O'Malley, I got to admit, but...
yeah. So next one we've got is two future Hall of Famers.
Got to put McGregor up there again, just for what he's done.
Even though he's overrated.
Even though he's overrated, I
put him there. It's mad, isn't it?
Both things can be true.
Yeah, it's a crazy sport.
Both things can exist. Yeah.
Jose Aldo's, is he retired yet?
Yeah, he retired. I think they inducted them recently. Aldo. Yeah.
Mm. I'd have said Jose Aldo, but Charles Oliveira.
Mm. Nice. Has Habib been inducted?
I don't think so.
I think he has, hasn't he? As you know.
I don't know. It's so hard to keep up with UFC's one.
I think he probably got put in the modern wing, didn't he? If he has.
Yeah. I'd be shocked if he hasn't, to be fair.
Yeah.
So, last one then. If UFC come to you tomorrow and said, here's a contract, put any opponent's name you want on that contract, who are you choosing? Who's your dream opponent?
Robert Whittaker.
Nice. Love it. Nice.
I just love him as a fighter. He's my favorite fighter ever.
And oddly enough, he's unintentionally funny. As we found out, he doesn't mean to be funny. He just wants to be left alone.
He does just want to be left alone.
Proper introvert.
Yeah.
No, he's great. I love him. So yeah, even though I love him, I'd love to punch him in the face as well. So.
Yeah. Another mad thing about fighting, you love the fighter, but you know, you want to fight them as well.
Yeah.
I mean, that would bring a whole new meaning to, you say, never meet your heroes, you punch them in the face. Well, that was everything we had for you, mate. It's been great to talk to you, great to get some of your insights into you know, the fighting game. It's been a pleasure, and best of luck next week. Can't wait to see you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Anytime.
Thank you, mate. Awesome.
Thanks.
Right, yeah.
Sounds.
Elliot McGibbon, as you say, fighting next week. And yeah, should be a good fight. Amateur middleweight title, so it's a big fight for him, big moment. Wish him the best. And yeah, debuted the new segment, which was more thought provoking than I thought it would be when they initially put it down. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But I think as fans, you think about it more, these things more than what other fighters may do, you know what I mean? So maybe that's what it is. But I feel like that was fun. But thanks everyone for tuning in. And we'll see you again tomorrow.
Yeah. See you soon.
Bye from the most consistent podcast in the world.
This is the greatest. I love it.
It was super necessary.
Go now.